Well, good morning to each of you. We are also very happy to be with you here this morning. The thoughts on my heart, though, maybe are more of a testimony of a need in my life than it is an answer. Oh, I think most of you know what it is at times who share up here sometimes. Sometimes you share knowing that I've lived some of this. I've worked in some of this. And now what I share this morning will be some of that, but it's also a bit of the cry of my heart these days as I've realized some of my own needs. So please realize I'm sharing something that, yes, has changed my life, has changed your life, but I desperately need it to keep going. And that's kind of the way I feel these days. I told my wife past few days, I just don't feel very spiritual. So, I'm sorry, but that's who's standing here. Someone who's fairly needy. And yet, in the midst of this need, I'm excited about this principle. Because God, this incomprehensible God, has answers for needy people. And so I'm very thankful. Thank you, God, that as you shared, brother, though it's, and I can't say this word here, but or this number here with these huge, long amounts of zeros on the end, but though we have a God who goes like this with his hand, and it all fits right inside of there, he also comes and he cares about me. And he wants to change me. And I am so, so thankful for that. Because I need changed. And that's some of my thoughts here this morning. And the title I'm going to give is The Changing Power of... And I wrestled. I don't know the right way to say this. But the short title is The Changing Power of Life. Or maybe I should say, New Covenant Life. And in my notes, I did capital L-I-F-E. And I just want us to ponder that as we look at the Word of God here this morning. God has brought in a new covenant, and He wants to change me. And He wants to change you. And I trust most of us here this morning, we've all been changed to a certain extent. And I'm thankful for that. But as I shared for myself, I feel kind of needy these days. Mickey needs changed. I do. I have areas that I need changed. Who I am is not who God wants me to be. Always. And again, I'm not discouraged. I don't want to come across discouraged. I'm very thankful. He has changed, and I'm encouraged at the potential that He wants to change. But the key that I want us to ponder as we ponder this change is that word, L-I-F-E, life. When we all ponder life, we can sometimes, we think of new life. We just had a phone call talking this morning with a couple not far from where we live there, Fred and Kat. Some of you, I guess, maybe know them, and they just had a new baby. And this new baby is, to us, new life. The world can't do it. It's God that does it. The world has all their scientific things, and they lay out all their scientific formulas and all this, but there's always a missing, do they call it X or something? A missing ingredient. What is it? Missing link? Well, I'm not talking about the missing link from monkeys to us. But there's something missing in all of their ingredients as they list out the ingredients to science. And they break down our bodies. They break down it from cells, and they go down. And my sons have been studying. One of my sons was studying the intricacies of cells and breaking down cells and down to, I don't even always know the right terms. He threw a couple new words at me that I actually don't think I studied when I was in school. I think they actually have broken it down another step past when I went to school. And they're breaking all our bodies and the way we're made up down, but they really can't explain this one key thing. and that's life. They can mess with it. They can tweak it. They've learned how to change it and form it, but they can't create it. They can take life, learn how to multiply it, change it, but they cannot create it. And that, I believe, is an essential ingredient in the New Testament life. The New Testament living is this ingredient, life. Open your Bibles with me as we just ponder this a little bit. We're going to go to 4 different scriptures as a foundation. Romans chapter 7. As we just ponder this concept of life. What is this? And this word is used many, many times. I should have looked up to see how many times life is used in the New Testament. And we will look at numerous of them. But just at the beginning, to help give us a foundation and a concept, Romans chapter 7, you know these verses. Starting in verse 14, just a little bit of a concept. For we know that the law is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. So we're entering into the Romans 7 struggle. That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And so here's the wrestle inside of someone, and the Apostle Paul is giving us this wrestle. What I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do, and there's just wrestle and failure. If then, verse 16, I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 18, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good which I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So we see this struggle. I'm just going to grab this out of the middle here for a little bit and just remind us, we all know sometimes this struggle. There's temptation comes and it lures us. There's thoughts that come. There's reactions and relationships. And inside I rise up and I don't like what that person said, or I don't like what that person did. And so there's this rising up and I either say things, do things, think things, feel things that I shouldn't. And there's this wrestle inside of me. And I don't mean to paint us all that we live that way. I trust and I know that we all also know what it is to say no and holiness to flow out. And there's change that happens. But do you know why that can happen? It's not because of the carnal man inside of us. It's because of life. Spiritual life. That allows a temptation to come, that allows a struggle to come, and we look at that and we start making choices. We start processing. We start dealing with temptation. And again, whether it's temptation, whether it's relationships, whether it's just downright right and wrong actions, whatever it is, we have constant choices to make as we live life. And in this new covenant, under the old, or let's skip the covenant here for just a minute, we're not there. Under my carnal man, I fail. I make mistakes. And I don't follow what God wants me to follow. And I've found myself realizing I did it again. And that's why I said earlier I don't feel real spiritual. As I realized, oops, Mickey, you didn't follow the Spirit of God. You followed carnal man. Sometimes it's unknowing. Sometimes it's, oh, and I look back and I think, you know. So I'm not putting it on me or on all of us that it's always just carnal. Sometimes there's just growth and we look back and realize, oops, that wasn't spiritual. So we know this struggle. Go down to chapter 8 in Romans. We're just going to go real briefly here. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. So we saw this carnal man wrestling. And we see him failing at times, or we see the carnal man failing, making wrong choices. That which I want, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, that I do. But in chapter 8, we have a little different picture as Paul continues on, for what the law could not do, this old covenant, the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. I want the righteousness of the law to be fulfilled in my people, God is saying. And so He sent His Son that it might happen. That so if we walk, or for those who walk, at the end of verse 4, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the normal, physical, human, caught up in this life, cannot, carnal is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, he says, verse 9, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Flip over to Hebrews. And then after that, we'll go to the scripture that I want us to spend some time on. So we have the carnal man wrestling, and we have the potential of the spiritual man living victoriously in life. What the law brought, let's just read this here. I believe Hebrews helps make it a little more clear. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. Sorry, I didn't tell you that. For if that first covenant with the law had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. If that first covenant of the law had been faultless, and in it men had lived holy spiritual lives, if it had been faultless, and in a sense, let me just leave that. If it had been faultless, there had been no place we wouldn't have needed the second. I'm sorry, 8 verse 7, I lost my place. There should have been no place been sought for the second. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I like the picture with my hand, God says. I led them out, and I gave them a covenant. I gave them a law. I told them what to do. I told them what to not do, and they didn't continue in my covenant. They didn't live it. Have you ever felt like you're not living what God has asked you to live? I have. I'm not living what God wants me to live in this area of my life. I'm thankful. And I know you're thankful that many times we do find ourselves conformed into the image of His Son, and we're walking in holiness and what He wants, but at times we may find, oh, I'm not, what are the terms here? I'm not continuing in what God calls me to. I'm not continuing in the covenant, in the direction that He's given. For this, verse 10 now, we talked about the old covenant, now verse 10, we're moving to the new covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'm going to do something different. A new covenant. And He says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. I just see the longing Father heart of our God saying, I have led you out. I have done what I could. I have given you a covenant, and you just won't follow. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a new covenant. Something new. Something different. And this is exciting and thrilling to my heart. It is going to be different. I'm going to take my laws, and rather than written in stone and put in a place, and you know, do not do this and do this, then you go your way and you forget. We find that so often, right? God says, I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to write it on stone. I'm going to put it in your mind, and you won't forget it. What does that mean? I asked Laura this morning. We were just talking about that a little bit. I don't know how to separate our conscience and the Spirit of God. I don't know how to do that sometimes. I don't know what is what. What is working? What is the Spirit of God working on our conscience? What is? And I'm not sure I can separate that. But he says, I'll put it on your mind. The idea I get is, you won't forget. You won't just have it written on stone and then go your way, live your life, and forget it. Because it's to be on the inside of me. And he says, I'll write it on your heart. To me, that even feels to me almost another step beyond my mind. Not just remembering it, but it's in there. It's a desire. It's actually inside of me, written on my heart. And I want to do what he told me. Not just a have to do what he tells me, but it's actually in my heart. I want to do what he's asking me to do. God says, I, in this new covenant, I'll do that. Is that not amazing? So if we find ourselves in the Romans 7 wrestle, and I know the Romans 7 wrestle, I do. Do we not need to stop and say, God, am I still living with an old covenant reality rather than a new covenant reality? Is it still just external for me and it's not actually internal? Is it possible that it still feels like do's and don'ts, but the power with which to do it, I know not? God says, in the new covenant, I will infuse the reality of what I want in your life on your inside. And that is who you will be. It's not just a cover on the outside. It's the same all the way through. We've been cutting down trees lately, trying to make a bigger area to build a shop. And my boys and I were cutting some trees, and you have to be a little careful. Some of them are rotten in the middle. The outside, it looks nice and fine. And I'm still learning how to cut trees and fell them just like I want and all that. I haven't conquered that one yet. But one of the keys is knowing a little bit what kind of tree it is and where some weaknesses are. And so, is it possible that God says, I want to make you the same all the way through? No inside that says, well, I just have to. I'm just forced to. And you're stuck under this law. But the reality of, I want to. How many children who want a piece of candy, or they want a cookie, or they want a bowl of ice cream, how often do we have to tell them, now make sure you eat your ice cream? That's not common for us. Because they want it from the inside. You know, that's what they want. But do we ever have to say, eat your carrots or your broccoli or your whatever? It's because it's on the outside imposed from the outside. And it's right to do it. But there comes a time as we grow, and I'm still growing in a few things, but I'm happy to eat my carrots and my green beans and my peas and my and all the things. I'm happy to. Because I know it's good for me. And thus I want it. Not because of the... What happens is we want it to go from an imposed on the outside have to an inner, I want this. And when it becomes, when God can infuse His life and the Spirit of God in us, to me, that is what happens. Let's go ahead and go to Ezekiel, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 36, and I believe it shows us clearly this principle. The changing power of New Testament or New Covenant life. And, well, let's just read in chapter 36. Verse 21, let's start. But God says, "But I had pity for mine holy name." And I like to see that sometimes. God says, it's about me. It's not about you. Sometimes he does say, "For God so loved the world." He didn't say, "For God so loved himself." He says, "For God so loved the world." But here he said, "I had pity for mine own holy name's sake." Not just pity on you all, on me, on us humans, but he said, "I had pity for mine own name's sake. And because I saw what the law could not do in this covenant, this old covenant," God says, "I had pity for mine own holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. I led them out of Egypt with mine own hand. I showed them the way to go, and they went and they lived among the heathen. Instead of glorifying me, they profaned my name," God said. And God says, "I had pity for myself with how bad of a job they did. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel." This New Testament life and power, and once in here, he's saying, "I don't do this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither you went." Verse 23, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." And that's a whole principle I'll just mention as we're going, but that's a principle that I still marvel at. God could come and display his name to the heathen just like that, easily. Whether it's through angelic beings and they go proclaim the truth, or it's through miracles or through whatever, or he could display a glimpse of himself to the heathen and they would all fall flat on their face, and they will someday. But for now, he wants to do it through you, O Israel. It's our job right now to so display who he is that the heathen will say, "This God..." Well, what does he say? "He will be sanctified. My great name will be sanctified instead of profaned when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." And thus, as we live, as we walk, and as we display properly this God whom we serve, then God says, "That is what I'm looking for." 4, verse 24. "I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." I'll take you from being scattered. I'll take you from a mess. I'll bring you into your own land. Verse 25, "Then will I." And I circled all the will I's and I wills, and there's a whole bunch of them from 23 to 30. And I think that's good for us to do. And if you want to do that, you do that. You circle all those I wills. In this new covenant, this power of life, God is promising so, so much. Feels like he's, what do we say, bending over backwards for us. "I will I sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean." Thank you, Lord. I know there has been filthiness in my life, and I need washed of it. Don't you? There's filthiness. And when he'd washed, he says, "I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you." Verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you." Hallelujah. A brand new heart will I give you. "And a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I'll give you an heart of flesh, a soft one." And verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my way, in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Is that not amazing? God says, I know you have some stoniness in you. I know you've had some wrestle inside of you. There have been questions and there have been temptations you've fallen to. We heard in our memory, Adam. We have the picture of Adam and Eve there, and we know they fell. And we also know ourselves, we've fallen and fallen many times to temptations and weakness and whatever. And God says, that's not what I want from my people. So you know what? I'm not just going to put a law written in stone here. I'm going to take their heart, that stony heart, that heart that has wrong desires, that heart that has wrong longings, that heart that has wrong things it wants to think and do and go, and I'll take that heart out of them and I'll give them a soft one. That's soft. I want that soft, pliable heart. Don't you? I'll do that, God says. And a new spirit, not only, brothers and sisters, not only a new heart, not only a new seat of our affections, what we like, what we don't like, where we want to go, where we don't want to go. Not only will I take that out of you and give you a new one, on top of that, I'll put my spirit within you. This God, Brother Raymond, says, I will come by my spirit and I'll come in and be in you. Is that not an amazing picture? An amazing picture. And if I find myself, I fell. When there was, it was, I was relating, whether it was to my children, to my wife, to my brother, to my sister, or to the lost, and I didn't do something like Jesus would have done. Is it His fault? No way. If I find myself wrestling there, it's me. It's all there. I'll take it out of you. I'll put a soft one in you. I'll put my spirit in you so that you walk in my ways and you do what I want you to do. You believe what I want you to believe. You live out in your life what I want you to live out. That to me is thrilling because I said earlier, there are times in life where I just feel like, God, I don't feel very spiritual. And I realized I needed to apologize to someone again. Or maybe I didn't even need to apologize, but down inside there just wasn't purity. Longing for the right thing. There was a bit of stoniness in there. Is that His fault with all these promises? I will put my spirit in you and on top of a new heart, and a new spirit, I'll cause you to walk in my way. It's not a matter of wrestling and wanting to go this way. It's a matter of with this new heart and new spirit, I'm walking and I can't go that way. No way. And I almost picture, what I'm picturing is I'm picturing these gates or something, keeping the cows from going this way. You know, and so you have a gate over here and you have a gate over here in the alley. That's where their cows are supposed to go. They can't go this way. Now, they want to, so it's different. But I'm caused. And I ponder this picture and I think, God, how can you make it so be so helpful in this new covenant relationship? How can you be so, so helpful? And I still don't get it. And I still walk the wrong way. Something's wrong here. When God says, all of this will I do for mine holy name's sake. God says, I want to change your desires. I want to change what you actually want. Instead of hankering over here, no, you hanker for the right thing. God says, I want to change what you like and what you don't like. So instead of constantly dealing with what I'll change it and you'll love holiness. You'll love the beauty of God-likeness. God says, I'll change what you like to do and what you don't like to do. I'll change it. And you won't actually hanker after the things of this flesh. No, you don't even want it. Temptations come? Sure. Questions? deal with things? Sure, but I don't even want it. What makes us tick, we talk about. God says, I'll change that. I'll change your inner core. And what you really get excited about, I'll change it. So that you get excited about what God gets excited about. And what God is not excited about, I'm not excited about. He'll change what's fun to us and what's not fun to us. He'll change, and on the list goes, because God says, I want to change you. I want to take you a people who have a stony heart. I want to take a people who wander and go the wrong way. And I want to make a people who go the right way. Who make the right decisions. Who live the right way. To me, that is exciting. As I take Mickey, who has wrong attitudes, has wrong longings, makes wrong decisions. And again, I'm not necessarily trying to beat on myself, but I sense that sometimes. And as I shared, I just feel these days, God, I need you. God says, I'll do it. And that is exciting to me. I'm going to just read a few verses here. I want us to ponder this concept of what God wants us to do. And Jesus said over and over, what is the answer? And that is, it's His life in us. I'm just going to read through a bunch of scriptures. You don't have to turn there. I'll just reference them. John 1, verse 4, in Him was life. In Him, Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men. Jesus walked over here. There was life, real new covenant life in Him. And thus as He walked, He had a new heart. He had a new, He had the Spirit in Him. And He was caused to walk in God's ways because He had life. In Him was life. John 5, and ye have not this word abiding in you, for whom He has sent him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them that ye think ye have eternal life. And I think sometimes we put a little too much emphasis on the word that is before or after life, and so the adjective actually gets the emphasis instead of the actual word that is being used here, and that's life. Not just, oh yes, in eternity I'll have life. No, life that is eternal. So anyway, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, Jesus said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus is saying, I'm standing here, I have life, I'm the light of men, and life is in me. But you won't come and get life from me. You think through the Scriptures and searching the Scriptures, you'll have eternal life. But it's me, Jesus is saying, that really gives you real life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And don't get caught up. It doesn't say heaven. Who believes on me will have heaven. It says you'll have life. And it'll be everlasting life. And shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life, those who come to me. Jesus said unto them, I am, jumping in the middle of John 6, I am the bread of what?
Life.
I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me, if you come to me and you realize there's some stones in there, you made some wrong decisions, you have some wrong desires, you don't know how to overcome an issue, and you feel that in you, Jesus says, come and eat of life. And when you eat of life, I will change you. And you'll be different. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Under this covenant, They ate in the wilderness of bread. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if a man eat thereof, he shall not die. You won't die. You won't walk after the flesh. There'll be life. As the Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. He dwelleth in me, and I in him. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life. Right? So not only will I be changed and will I be different, then I actually become a spring of life to those around me. Wow. I want that. I don't want this mess of wrestling and struggling with self and sin and not doing what God wants and all this wrestle and wrestling with me. And I don't want this. Jesus says, not only will I change you and there'll be life in you, but it'll flow out of you and others will drink life and get life from you. That's a whole other step. That's not necessarily what I'm focusing on here this morning, but that's a whole other step. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The law of the Spirit of what? Life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I can be free from it. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of... But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Holding forth, Philippians, Paul talks about holding forth this word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. For ye are dead, in Colossians, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. We have seen the life, right? In Jesus Christ. We have seen the life. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life, it's in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And we could go on and on and on. Talks about life. Do we experience, are you experiencing, am I experiencing this life-changing life in me that takes away a stony heart and a wrestle with self and sin and me? You all know the issues and the wrestles that you deal with. I know the ones that I deal with. God says, I'm going to take that out and I'm going to change you and put life in you. I've used this illustration many times, and so forgive me if you've heard it before, but to me it's just a very clear picture of what I think God wants to do. As a young boy, I had a carnal mind, and there was this, I don't remember the year, but a green Camaro. It was that style that was all round and kind of came up in the back with a big spoiler in the back, and living here with some stone in there, I just thought that'd be neat. I wanted to have one of those someday. So I guess that was my dream car. And it was very earthly minded of me. But that's where I was. But do you know what? A few years later, maybe it was, I don't know, 10, 15 years later, did you know I got my dream car? My dream car was, I don't remember what color it was or what year it was, a Honda Civic. And it did an excellent job with excellent fuel mileage to take me to work and back. And it was my dream car. I mean, I was delighted with it. Why? Changed heart. I had changes. Something changed here. I no longer wanted the neat and the power and the cool and the whatever it is that is very common in a boy and a man's heart. It sometimes morphs into other things in men. It maybe isn't the car, maybe it's the business or the whatever it is. But God said, God, as he worked with me and he changed me, he took out that heart that wanted that car And he put in the desire for a four wheels that will get me to work and back simply, economically, represent what I want to represent. And I was delighted that I got my dream car. Just a very simple illustration that I think most of us can understand. Yeah, I had a change of heart. And it got molded into more what Jesus would have driven and wanted and desired. Now again, I use that as a positive. There are still areas I feel I'm working and God is working, and he sees some stone in there. And he's saying, Mickey, I want to change you so that you don't have to force yourself to not buy a green Camaro. But you don't even want one. Not in the slightest. It'd be humiliating because I wouldn't be representing what I want to represent. You all would be scratching your head, what happened to Mickey? I don't even want that. I have other things that I want. I have other things that I desire in the line of cars. And I know that might seem really elementary and really simple to some of us here. Maybe some of you young people, that's not elementary, and you realize there's some desires there. Do you know what? God can change them. Would you dare say, God, would you take my stony heart that's hankering after stuff that I know standing before this kind of a God, and he's seated upon his throne and he's looking down on my life, and you know when he looks at that, he'll say, sorry, son, wood, hay, stubble. Burn it up. Gone. Worthless. No, it had worth in the wrong side. Maybe there's some things like that, young people. Don't be discouraged. Be excited. This God wants to change you. Okay, young ladies, maybe it's not cars. You put your stuff in there. Whatever it is that says, my heart is hankering after something that's not over here. Right? Before this holy God, it's just not beautiful and pure, representing to the world and sanctifying what God wants and sanctifying his name among the heathen. It's not. And you find it over here. Don't be discouraged. Just be excited. God, would you change me? And he will. If we really give ourselves to it. So for me, it's not a car anymore. And for many of you, it's probably not a car. But can you take your car and stick it there? Whether it's my reputation, whether it's financial security, whether it's people seeing what they want and thinking of me, what I want them to think, whether it's the ministry I'm putting my heart into and it feels like it's flopping, whether it's our family or it's in the church or it's in Pottsville or whatever, and there's just whatever it is, it's a relationship, and you realize there's some stone there. Can you get on your knees or go through your day with excitement? God, I'm going to come and I'm going to seek you and I'm going to pursue. I want you to change me. I want you, Lord, to take out this heart of stone, this old stony car, and pull it out and put what you want put inside there. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, God wants to do that for us. This is new covenant life. Just ponder with me a little bit some of the changes that God wrought in some people. Think of Peter with me a little bit. When life, before life was infused in Peter, we find bumblings. And we even find some after too. But just ponder with me before. Peter had bumblings. Not only bumblings, there was sin. And here's Peter warming his hands by the fire, and some people are starting to say, and Jesus is over there being tried, and people are starting to say, you were with him, weren't you? And inside Peter, he's scared. He's wrestling with faith. He's wrestling with security. He's wrestling with himself. He's wrestling with what truth is, maybe. He's wrestling with not wanting to be beaten, crucified also. And he heard him say, crucify him. And so I'm going to guess he was all turned upside down. He was still living in the old covenant. He didn't have the infused Spirit of God in his life revolutionizing him yet. Somehow there was some work going on, so I'm not trying to give clear definition. I don't all understand when it all took place and how it all took place, but I think we can clearly see in the Apostle Peter there was some wrestle there. And he made some wrong, very wrong decisions. I don't even know the man. What are you talking about? And he did it three times. And then all of a sudden he heard the cock crow and he went out and wept bitterly. There was something of the Spirit of God, conscience, all of that. But there was a good bit of stone left in there. Good bit of Peter in there. Then we see him infused with the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit came up on them, God began changing this man who had self-preservation, all of that, all wrapped up inside of him to save himself. And the Spirit of God came and he was willing to stand up and say, "Ye men of Israel, this day," and to stand up and preach before a crowd, knowing he's following the one who was just killed. But it was okay. He now had something to live for that he was solid in and he was committed to, and God was working. And he was able to go before them, and they said, "We're going to beat you. Don't you speak in this name again." And he said, "Listen, with John, we can't but speak the things which we've seen and heard." We can't. We can't. Do you get it yet? We can't. Why, Peter? Just a few days ago. Okay, maybe it had been longer than a few days, maybe a few weeks, whatever. Just not very long ago, Peter, you were over here saying, "I don't know the man." And now you're saying, "You can't but speak the things which we've seen and heard. You just can't." Right. Peter was saying, "I can't help myself." Why, Peter? Something happened in here, and it was changed. The old stone got pulled out. I think Peter could have said, "Men and brethren, I have something different inside of me than I used to have. I have been changed." And there's life flowing from him to me. And with that life, I can't help myself. I'm going to preach. I'm going to share this glorious news. I have to. That's those panels, those gates. And the old cow just has to go in them. And Peter said, "I'm stuck here. Beat me, do what you want to me, and ultimately kill me. This is where I'm going to walk." Thank you, Peter. Thank you for being an example of a man who can't help himself because he was revolutionized from a heart of flesh, from a heart of stone to a soft heart of flesh. Another simple illustration, we know the Apostle Paul. He's going after the men who were following Jesus, and he's on his horse, and he's headed out to capture them, and he is an earnest man. Something happened in Paul, and a few years later, he's saying, "I went to Mars Hill, and my heart was stirred within me." Why, Paul? You used to feel stirred against the people of Christ, and now you're being stirred for him. It's change. We all know these illustrations, and we say, yes, heart of stone, going the wrong way, making wrong decisions, infused with new covenant life. And his spirit is stirred within him. He said, "I was pressed in spirit." He says, "For the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn you night and day with tears." He said, "Necessity or distress is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Do you see these gates? I'm stuck here. If I don't go on and do what God wants me to do, and I preach not the gospel, and I don't cry day and night for you all, woe unto me. Why, Paul? Because I'm changed. I have a different heart. I have different motives. I have different desires. I'm a different person. Jesus, it was said of Jesus, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Why, Jesus? Because inside is life. And I am just eaten up on the inside. And I have to. There's zeal that comes out of me. But the actions that come out of me, it's in the very core of who I am. And it revolutionizes my life. There's a little phrase that I think it's maybe in A.W. Tozer's book that I kind of read one time and thought, I like that little phrase. It says, children of the burning heart. Have you ever met someone and you say, there's a burning heart down in there? I met a young man the other, a while back, and I just told him, I said, there's something in your eyes and in your spirit. I don't know if I said it like this. There's something burning in there. God bless you. Keep going. You ever sense that? Children of the burning heart. To where it's not stony here, it's burning inside of there because there's life flowing in. And they love this life flowing in. And they want this life flowing out. And out of their life is life. And it's right. And it's godliness. This new covenant. I'm just trying to ponder what illustrations to use. Jesus talks about the river of life. He talks about the book of life. Eternal life. Bread of life. The word of life. The tree of life. And it goes on and on and on about life. Brothers and sisters, it is exciting. He wants to change us and take away the stony heart and put a heart of flesh. Fight, wrestle, and pursue, and knock, and seek, and make right decisions whether you feel like it or not, and press in, and ask for counsel, and communicate with others, and you can go on and on. Push and press as you seek God and say, God, would you change me? Make me who you want me to be from the inside all the way to the outside. I'm only going to give just two simple applications. How do we get this life to this life where we find there's stoniness? Where we find there's, whether it's a relationship problem, and I've gone down the list, all these things. Whatever it is in you, and you realize it still has some stony aspects. Just turn with me to two scriptures, and I'm sure there could be much more, but we're going to look at two. Luke chapter 11. And again, very, very simple. But you know, I think I find God's ways really get more and more simple. It's very simple. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 5. We're going to go ahead and read a little bit here. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are in bed with me, I cannot rise and give thee. So here we have someone, and I picture it, those of you who have done it, it just makes a lot of sense if you go into a third world mindset a little bit, and we lived in a little hut for a few years, and just to picture ourselves in bed, we had gotten in bed, we were clean, we had washed our feet, all these things that maybe doesn't talk about it here, but it talks about it some places, and someone comes and knocks on the door. To get out of bed in a dirt floor means you have to climb out of a clean bed, you try not to get your feet dirty, you go, you try to do something for them, it's pitch black, no lights, right? Just remember this, put it in that setting, and no lights, and so on this door someone comes and is knocking. I have a need. Would you come? Would you give me some bread? I have a neighbor. I have someone who came, and I don't have anything in the house, but please, could you help me with something? And you're in bed, and you say, please, I'm in bed. Out of bed. The hassle, the mess, the darkness. Just go home. I don't know what he said. I cannot rise and give thee. My children are in bed. They're all quiet. Shh, quiet. Don't wake them up. Just let me alone. Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, brothers and sisters, seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God, there's something stony here in my life. I see things coming out in my life that are not of you. There are wrong, and you come and you start knocking. I need change, Lord. I need change. And we knock and we knock and we knock and we knock. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No, is the obvious answer. If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Absolutely not, is the obvious. If ye then, brothers and sisters, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give life, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? Is it not that simple? It's not complex. Then why do I still find stoniness in me? I need to go ask. I need to seek. I need to knock. I need to pursue. Earnestly, I need bread. Can you take your bit of stone you find in your heart? I'm taking my stones I'm finding and I'm saying, Mickey, whether it's selfishness, self-centeredness that makes me act or respond or think or whatever that way. And sometimes it's even just on the inside. Nobody maybe knows it, but I know in there. It's self. It's me. It's wrong. It's stony. It's ugly. God, I want that taken out. And I start knocking. I want changed, God. I want made into a new man. I want life infused, this stone taken out, a soft heart put in there. And I want you to ride on that soft heart. Others, Mickey, Jesus, love, selfless, whatever those things are. God, that's what I want written on my life. My parents talk about it as they're getting a little older. What's the difference between some of these delightful old people and these little bit sour old people? Right? There's both. And may God have mercy on me. Sometimes diseases and sicknesses take our minds and all that, and we need to have mercy. Because sometimes it's very, very difficult. But some people are just sweet. And it seems like the more they get squished, just more godliness comes out. Other people, they get squished and they get grumpy. I work with numerous old people in some of the work I do, whether it's working with their lawn or they're outside taking care of some old people's places that they can't anymore. And some of them are just grouchy. They don't like getting old. They don't like what they can't do. God, there's some stone in there, wherever it is in me, wherever it is in you. Would you take it out? Begin asking, seeking, knocking, earnestly pursuing. That's number one. It really isn't difficult. Number two, go to 2 Corinthians. In light of life, the changing power of this new covenant life. So number one, earnestly pursue and knock and ask. Number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, we have, and I'm just going to jump in the middle here, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, Paul is saying the way he lived, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the what? Life. Also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. God, I want life, I hear Paul saying. I don't want the stoniness. I want the life of Jesus, life flowing out of me. I want life and truth and beauty so that God is not ashamed to be called my God, but He is being sanctified in the people that I'm around through my life. God, Paul is saying, I need life. But do you know the way we're doing it? We're always bearing about in the body the dying. And that's number two. Death choices. We have to make death choices. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live, those of us who have life, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. If we want life And when a soft heart, Paul's saying, there's dying and there's death choices that I'm going to need to make day after day after day. This stone, I'm going to have to say, these thoughts that come, I'm not going to feed this stone. No flesh, no thoughts, no actions, no whatever it is. I'm not choosing that death stuff. I'm going to die to that because I know it feeds the stone. I'm going to choose the things that feed life. And so we make what I'm calling death choices. Paul said, I make death choices. We which live, those of us who have life pulsing through our veins, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in this mortal flesh of mine. I want life flowing out of this flesh of mine. And so, there's death. You see the paradox? It's death that brings life, and that's a whole thing of itself. But let's just go on. For we which live, which have life in us, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, and he goes on, but life in you. And so Paul is saying, as we die, as we go through difficulties, it's okay. There's life that's coming out of that. And we could go to lots of other places, but there's just this concept that the dying brings life. Make death choices. The stone that's there, we're going to start begging God and asking and seeking and knocking. God, take the stone out and put something soft there. And we're also going to start making death choices in our minds, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our relationships. I'm going to make death choices. So I ponder this. It's exciting to me. There's still some stones and some stoniness in my heart, but I'm not discouraged. Thank you, God, for helping me see it. Now, you're going to help me take it away. I believe it. I know he's done it in the past for me. I know he's done it in the past for some of you. And I'm excited. He's going to keep doing it. As you and I continue to press forward, seek, knock, ask, and making proper death choices, life will spring up. New covenant reality of life. Would you go back with me to Ezekiel? Here in closing, Ezekiel 36. He's giving us a promise. A promise of this new covenant of life. Just listen to it in light of all that we've talked about here. I'm going to go back to verse 21. I had pity for mine holy name. Can you see the heart, the longing heart of God? And he's saying, I had pity. They've been missing it, but I want a people who sanctify my great name. I had a pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. This incomprehensible God, sitting upon his throne, created a universe, and he made it beautiful, and he wanted human beings to be and live and demonstrate what he wanted, that his name would be exalted. But you didn't do it. You messed up. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you, in me, before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, God says, and I'll gather you out of all countries, and I'll bring you into your own land. I'm from one of those far-off countries. I think most of us are, right? From those odd, far-off isles of sinful people living in their own wretchedness. And he says, I'll gather you from out there. That's what I want to do. And I want to pull you in. And I'll take you from among the heathen, verse 24, gather you out of all countries, will bring you into your own land. And again, we already have one, two, three I wills. Now here's I will four. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I, number five, cleanse you. Is that six now? A new heart will I give you. I'll give you a new heart. Brothers and sisters, he wants to see what he wants, and he will have what he wants. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh, meaning a soft one. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness. All that uncleannesses, all those uncleannesses. And I'll call for the corn, and I will increase it and lay no famine upon you. We don't have to suffer famine. And I say this to myself, Mickey, you don't have to suffer famine. Life will flow in and out if you'll walk in it, Mickey. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and in the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your evil ways. And he goes on. We'll just stop for that. I just see God's heart there for me and for us as his people, and I'm excited. He will do it. He'll change us and he'll make us the people that he wants. I'm thankful that most of us have experience of watching that happen. A little bit of stone yanked out and flesh put in. Let's keep going with excitement, realizing, brothers and sisters, he will do it. He said he will. Seek, ask, knock, and make death choices in your life. And I believe our Father will do that for us. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful principle. Thank you for the glorious New Testament, New Covenant life that you've put in front of us. Would you help me? Would you take my hand, Father, and help me? Thank you for encouraging my heart. Though you've showed me some of my needs, you have encouraged my heart. And I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord. Would you do it in me? In my family, in my church, in your people, and ultimately the heathen will know, and you'll change them and draw more from various countries and various places in the midst of mess and sin. And you know, got to be in Pottsville. Draw them there, Lord. Help us to be a so revolutionized people that as life is in us, can flow out to them, and they'll see lives that live changed lives. They look different. They act different. They think different. No more stones, stony hearts, world, normal world, whatever hearts, but spiritual ones with life flowing in them. God, make that live and real there in Pottsville also. Do it in your people, Father, in me, in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you will help us to ask, seek, and knock and make death choices, so that you can bring life. Amen. Bless you all.